Joe, we pray, Heavenly Father, we want to recognize your presence amongst the bride, and as the prophet said, if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. And by the grace of God, we'll not stand in her way, and we know that would take a lot of grace, Lord, to realize that they're as elect people, and we might stand by, not as bride, but as friends of the bridegroom, which in itself would be a tremendous calling. Help us, Lord, to be reconciled 100% completely to your word, not having a word of our own or a thought of our own, Lord, but may all our thoughts and word be of you, and may we be conduct our lives according to the light that is in that word. Unite us together, O God, we pray, by virtue of that same word and the life within the word, and even as your own prophet Paul said, Christ standing in the midst of the church, he's not ashamed to call us brethren because we are of one source. May we come to that same mind as Christ, and as a church, Lord, unite in that particular proposition as a family of God, Lord, one loving each other and helping each other, bearing the crosses, doing all things that are right and upright, honor before thee in the face of all men, especially, Lord, in your face in whose presence we are today. Help us with the word. O God, may it bring life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're taking number 13 this morning on Does God Change His Mind About His Word? In the last service we had together, we were looking at 1 Timothy, I believe, the 4th chapter. And we were talking particularly about the end time and the condition of the people, especially those that were religious and those that were somewhat of authority. Those that were figureheads, they were well titled, they were respected, they were men of God, and of course they were forming the church, which was what we might call fundamentally and basically true, within the limits, of course, that they never had a real definitive, guaranteed, vindicated revelation, but they were looking at the Word. Now, Brother Branham took that from Moses and from Balaam. And Balaam, of course, was a prophet. He was gifted. God spoke to him. God spoke through him. And, of course, he was truly a prophet, but he was not the true prophet of Israel, because when it came to the opportunity to receive the definitive true answer, which would have come by way of Moses, this man could not humble himself and then give the place to Moses of leadership, which Moses certainly had. Now, we took a certain portion of Scripture about these people, and we found out in 2 Peter, before we went to Timothy, which we will do again today, the thought here in 2 Peter, the 2nd chapter, these people, it starts out, but there were false prophets among the people. And, of course, Matthew 24 calls them false Christs, even lying prophets. So we know that when they're looking for the anointed one, the Christ at the end time, there's a low here is Christ, low there, low other. You're going to have to recognize that these people are referring to prophets. Now, as you do that, please understand that there are seven church ages. And you cannot bring 5 into 6 and 6 into 7, though they are there in a figure. Number 5 is Lutheran. Number 6 is Methodist. Number 7 is Pentecostal. Now, you don't hear of the Lutherans and the Methodists talking about prophets. You hear Pentecostals talking about prophets. And Brother Branham said, and he said to me personally, whether it's on a tape, I don't know. Because my memory's not that good. We have a computer. Dave can look it up and he can find it. But he said the closest thing to what is the truth were the latter rainers, and they were wrong. And he said the greatest lie in the world is 99% true, and 1% is the lie part. So what we're looking at here then, and we're starting with, we are starting with Balaam. And the people of Balaam, which come at the end time. You understand what I'm saying? And that's Pentecostal. And if the Pentecostals are chaff, they will not make the rapture. Now, I'm not saying this because I hate Pentecostals. I'm criticizing them. If I could go home and just cry and say, to the whole thing. But I'm determined to tell the truth because this is what has been vindicated. We're not dealing with heresy. We're not dealing with bedtime stories. We're not dealing with maybe so, hope so, might be so. We are dealing with those things that are now after the fact. Let's face it, Jack Kennedy's dead. And it was a syndicate that killed him. And there's a cover-up. One of the most telling letters I wrote about it, heard about it, was this young military cracksman. He's a rifleman. He's a cracksman is what he is. And he said, no man can possibly have pulled the trigger of that Italian gun firing 3 bullets in 6 seconds because he's a marksman. There's a cover-up. By vision, Brother Branham told me categorically, the vision was a bushy-haired man running through the woods. And a voice said, a syndicate has killed Jack, the president. And Ruby, not the bushy-haired guy, but Ruby was behind it. So Ruby never killed him. Oswald never killed him. The same thing he said, Marilyn Monroe did not die of drugs. She died of a heart attack. Now, we're not dealing with anything but after the fact. And the fact is, at the time of the two spirits, the Son of Man and the Son of Perdition, and remember, Jesus was the prophet. When Brother Branham saw him come back as a judge, there's nobody but a prophet can be a judge. Because the word comes to the prophet. The revelation comes to the prophet. If you don't believe that, look at the time the man was gathering sticks back in the days of Moses. And the law said, you cannot do that on the Sabbath. And the man was getting a few sticks to make a little dinner or something. He shouldn't have done it. So they put him in quarantine. And Moses himself, being the prophet through whom God spake, did not dare make one move till he himself went and inquired of God, though he was able and educated enough to read what he had written. What is, let's find out if he desecrated the Sabbath day. Put the man in quarantine. Found out from God, this man has desecrated my day. He is worthy of death, and they killed him after the fact. There is nothing but what is after the fact. God revealed himself to Moses, vindicated himself to Moses. Moses goes down, vindicated by God, and it was after the fact that he explained what was going on. Now, after the fact, as there were prophets, so there shall be teachers. And they've got to get their teaching from the prophets. So, all right, they'll say, lo here and lo there, believe it not. Because the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. And they said, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How could any man, except a man reborn, understand that that is the kingdom of God in our midst, Christ being in the midst? Say, Brother Bale, it's so simple. That's the whole trouble. It's so simple. Too bad. There'll be false prophets among the people. There should be now today false teachers who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. False doctrine. False teaching, because teaching is doctrine. Denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. He was a fundamentalist. He believes in the Lord Jesus Christ having died. That's true. They believe it. But they don't believe the Christ in the midst now, and they cannot see the kingdom of God. They say, when's the kingdom of God going to come? He said, it's going to come without observation. In other words, you will not be able to see it the way you observe. You're not looking at the thing right. Those Israelites positively knew the way of a true prophet, as Brother Branham spoke on to the people of this hour. And they turned it down exceedingly because they turned it down in wrath and in cursing. See, some generations got to bear the full curse. What generation goes up as chaff? Pentecost. So, all right, we're talking about Pentecostal people. And let's face it, God looks at every denomination as Pentecostal because there's no denomination that Pentecostals haven't gotten into somewhere, somehow. You'll find them amongst the Seventh-day Adventists, and I'll bet you'll find a few amongst the Jehovah's Witnesses. They're conked up as God knows what. Yet they know a few things. Now listen to me. It says in the 15th verse, which having forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozer. Now right here at the end time, it tells you that. But notice also, in the 12th verse, but these as natural brute beasts may be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Now, brute beasts. Let's talk about a brute beast. Like fun. I'm going to talk about a brute beast. I'm going to illustrate what you think and what I think is a brute beast. Dahmer. And a Hyen. Homosexual filth. Killed a guy here in Ohio. He was in the army, evidently as a chemist, doing experimentation. His father was a pharmacist. Now, what does he do? He takes young men and he tries to work lobotomies upon them, sedating them, drilling holes in the temple, and pouring in chemicals, hoping he will get a zombie for his sex and as a servant, and he killed many of them. If that doesn't tell you what a brute beast is, according to human thinking, you don't even know what you're thinking. But that's wrong. That's not the brute beast. This is the brute beast. The false prophets and the false teachers. And many follow their pernicious ways by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise. He was judgment now, long time lingereth not, and damnation slumbereth not. Now there is your swaggerts and your bakers and your Falwells and all the rest, and they're on the air today. I don't know too much about Jerry. I know his doctrine is completely wrong. But we saw what the second Billy Graham was, this fella Lee. Now he's trying to clear his name through the Christianity Today, which I'm beginning to believe is a bit conked up since Dr. Bell died, because they're defending him. How can you defend a man that stands right there and says, all I've got is my clothes, when the liar's got a fantastic, beautiful home, maybe worth $1 million, and his house in Kansas burned down, where he'd just taken all his furniture? I got an idea somebody torched it, but I wouldn't say it, that's the truth. Sure makes you think, doesn't it? If you see a woman take her clothes off, what does it make you think? She's a whore. She's got a spirit on her, spirit of hell. And Brother Branham said it was a filthy spirit. You know, you women think maybe I'm tough on you. I've never been tough on you. God knows you can't prove one second I've been tough on you. But I wonder about some of you. But there's three kinds of believers, aren't there? Doesn't matter what you talk, as much as you really are in your heart, it's all got to come out. Now, tough on women, men are just as rotten. In fact, worse. They take advantage, they love it. Someone might think, well, I got a dirty mind up here because they hit this. Now, why don't you women dress 100% the way I tell you, instead of somebody saying, I'll tell my family how to dress. Go and get your own church! Don't bring your tripe in here! I don't even want my home or my wife leaves a bathroom door open. Or the kids or anybody else. And I'm not a prude. I would to God I were. At least I've had that much in my setup. You think I'm tough? I'll apologize for being tough. But I spit things out the way they are because I've got to stand before God. Even my spirit is wrong. At least I've said the truth. These people here, with a lot of fruit, with a lot of gifts, they'll come in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not done so and so and so and so? Not realizing there's a scripture that offsets it that says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. God doesn't only take His Word. He lives in that Word, and that life's got to come through people. And if that is a false doctrine, there will be the life of the enemy come through, because I'm going to tell you something. The brute beast comes from Cain, because the beast was his father, the serpent. So close to a human being, it could mingle the seed, the same as the horse and the ass does, the little burrow. And other types of life also can come together. And so the human race was inundated. And at the very beginning, this brute beast entered into the worship of God and reasoning, and he did it very beautifully. He brought the fruit of the ground. And there's nothing prettier than nice fruit and beautiful flowers. But you know, you can't worship through them. God turned it down because the blood offering came first, which was messy, stink, and vile, that signified absolute death, which was offered up in fire to Almighty God, whereas the fruit was not done so. Nice, clean, very pretty. Pretty flowers in the hair. Women dress beautiful for God. I heard a woman say that one time. Hogwash. She dressed pretty for men. She tried to even try to snare me, which was the stupidest thing in the world. I don't have a pension for it. You may think that's a lie, but that's the truth just the same. When I had my fears I might be that kind of a guy, Brother Branham said, no way would you ever done it or do it. Exactly true. Some people are kept, some people aren't kept. I don't know. Just let it go for what it is worth. But the thing is this, the beautiful things are not necessarily God's way of having a sacrifice, or the sacrifice is beautiful in the eyes of God because it's what He wants. See, your long hair may not look pretty to some people. I think I've got the eyes of God, at least this respect. I think long hair is absolutely fantastic and beautiful. The longer and the more of it, the better. There's very few men I've ever found in my life. In fact, only one person ever said he liked cut hair better than long hair. And he's the guy that followed this guy, Laurie, who came along and completely duped a few people. And let's face it, he had something he could dupe them with, because I know the story about it. That man, actually, lightning jumped all around him. Cloud went and hit him. He was a sorry mess, though. Finally got into pure Hindu mysticism. I've read his stuff. No, these things here, I want you to notice, brother, sister, these people here are not necessarily sleaze bags, though we see a lot of it. They're not out there with other men's wives necessarily. They're absolutely fundamental, and they can be very, very, very fine people. But you see, they come to the gospel as the wrong seed. And Brother Branham said, when the net is cast, everything in that net, there'll be good fish, there'll be bad fish, there'll be crawdads, there'll be shrimp, and there'll be lobsters, and crabs, and turtles. And he said, what happens when the net comes up out of the sea? He said, they all go back to the water that they came out of. And the good fish is kept. And so it is at the end time, there are tares and there are wheat. And the tares are so close to the wheat, you can hardly tell them apart. And Jesus said, leave them to the harvest. So for seven solid church ages, we've got that which looks like wheat, and it isn't. And in the seventh church age, it's so close to looking like the wheat, there's a razor edge blade, a razor blade edge between the two spirits. Now remember, he said spirits. Now, so that's what we're talking about. We are not talking about the Dahmers. We are not talking about the Stallions. We are not talking about Pharaoh. We're not talking about Genghis Khan or a Hitler or any bar Jack Kennedy or anybody else. We're not even talking about the Pope in this particular way, but the Popes are getting a little better than used to be. I'll admit that. We are talking in Maine about the fundamental Pentecostals. And the people that are fundamental in this hour, and there isn't only the Pentecostals saying we're rich in Christian goods and lack nothing, but you will find every other denomination is saying the same. And all they're doing is apologizing for the fact that they made some errors. And what they're doing when they apologize for their errors, they're apologizing for having turned down the light that came to them and they didn't take it. So what did the Catholic Church say? They said if Pope John, what was he, the 23rd? I don't know, 23rd. They said if he had been the Pope instead of Leo, that the Lutherans never would have left the Catholic Church. Now the Wesleyans can turn around and the Lutherans can turn around and say, hey, if we'd have just listened, the Methodists never would have pulled out. And the Methodists, if we'd have just listened, the Pentecostals never would have pulled out. You see, they're doing what Israel did. They said that we'd have been back there. If we had been there, we would not have killed the prophets. And he said, you fill up the cup of iniquity because you are of their own seed. You're the ones that did it. And how could they do it? Except in the form of spirit, which is life coming on down. Now you got the Pentecostals. My brother Brandon said the Methodists want the Baptists want the Presbyterians, the Pentecostals want them all. They just about got them all. Even the man facetiously, which wasn't facetious, was the true mark on the Holy Ghost, was giving us absolute, positive, honorable truth. Okay, so what we're looking at here then are these brute beasts. And notice what it said, for while they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome of the same as he brought in bondage. For having escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they're entangled again therein, overcome, the latter end is worse than the beginning. What's he talking about? He's talking about a teaching. So all right, the Lutherans came out. Where are they today? They got a just as bad or worse teaching than the Catholics got. What about the Methodists? Their teaching is corrupt. What about Pentecostal? Their teaching is corrupt. What about our teaching? Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. Whether we've got it right or not, at least we've got an honest-to-God vindicated prophet who did bring the truth according to God and according to that man's understanding, whether we understand it or not. Now, what happened amongst us? What about this guy Moore, that all these guys, all a big flame? Brother Brown, I'm going to come back and attend. Maybe he'll come back and attend. I don't care what he comes back in. That's his business. 1977 came by. He said, well, it isn't all over, so Brother Branham was a false prophet. Brother Branham did not prophesy. He predicted. It was his own thinking. And in one place he said, hey, he said, I said 1977. He said, then it sure got a lot of things got to come to pass in a hurry because he said, it looks like it won't make it then. And under the seven seals, he said, it could be 125 years, 50 years, 100, maybe yet tomorrow. But nobody wants to take what he really said. See, what happened? They go back to what they came out of. What's been wrong with the people in this hour? They go back to Pentecost. I remember hearing one man over there in Arizona, and he's a nice fella. I really love the guy. Talk about a brilliant preacher. He's a good preacher. And right back there, right after Brother Branham died, I heard him preach on 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. He was nailing it right down beautifully. I can't remember enough to know how true and perfect it was. But he understood the descent. He understood those things. But where is he today? That wasn't enough. The presence wasn't enough. So he went right back to Pentecost and gifts. He's got a Pentecostal church. Remember, many, many times I've said to you people, if you backslide, you'll start doing the same things you did before you came into the presence of Christ. If you smoked and drank, you'll go back to it. If you ran with women, you'll go back to it. Now, if you didn't smoke and drink, you won't go back to it. Or run with women, you won't go back to it. You just go back to what you were. So with religion, you go back to your vomit. You go back to where you were, proving that you were either a dog or a sow. You weren't a sheep in the first place. Now, here it is. These are nice people. They're not the Dahmers. No. But they stand for all that junk. Every time you turn a paper in a religious column, they're going to ordain some woman. And the fight is on a woman preacher. Women cannot take the word of God and handle it. A woman writes me a letter from out west. Different letter she writes me. And in there, can I do so-and-so and so-and-so? It's about teaching. Am I teaching? I said, for Pete's sake, woman. You can teach anything you want. Politics, cooking, this, that, or the other thing. But don't handle the word of God. I hope what I have for you women here this morning, if you can't understand that. Why, we got girls sitting here that can soar like a house of fire. Em and Allison, Ann took lessons in sewing. Boy, can they do beautiful work. Now, if they wanted to teach one of you people, they could do it. But to sit down and teach the Word of God, no way. We got cooks here that can cook up a storm. Tremendous cooks. I should take lessons myself. Don wanted to teach me some good things. Ruth? And look at our favorite pianist, Angela, her own mother-in-law tells you she can't figure how one woman can do so many things at one time, get it all done, and be happy. Angela, you got a compliment paid you like, you better bask in it, honey, and glory in it. I'm not telling on Jan, I'm just telling the truth. I marvel at it. In fact, Chris should be so lucky. Some of you guys got wives here that, if they're not the Queen of Sheba's and all the rest put together, I don't know what I'm talking about. They're all able to teach. Just don't teach the Word of God. Testify to it, yes, but don't try to handle it as a woman preacher. Say, what do I mean testify? Testify to the great things in this hour. Prophets vindicated by God that you saw. Got films on him. Tapes. Vindicated man coming to be with you. You can testify about that. When it comes to doctrine, go straight to your pastor. See? These people. What's mad at these people? It's their doctrine. The whole thing hinges on doctrine. Because it says teaching. Heresies. Names. Tells what their unrighteous living is. And Brother Branham said, the beginning of righteousness is a true spiritual revelation. Then these people are off on their revelation. And notice their great temptation that they go into that's reserved to the unjust, to punishment, is getting off that word and teaching people a wrong word. Because that's where it went off in the beginning. And Eve typing the church did it. Now, brute beasts, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, of wrong teaching. What happened to the serpent? His arms and his legs were taken away. He was thrown right down into the dust. He had nothing ahead of him but the future of what that false word ordained, which was the destruction. Another form entirely. And when they come up in the second resurrection, they will not have a body like ours, but a body that will be able to absorb the flames of fire that are there. How long, I don't know. I don't take any relish in it. I'm just telling you the truth. Do what you want with it. Now it says, spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Over the word communion and the table. Having eyes full of adultery, they cannot cease from sin. Beguiling unstable souls and heart they've exercised with covetous practice, cursed children, forsaken the right way. Now some of these things tell you what they'll get into because they're off the word, which is fornication and adultery and so on. A person that's truly filled with the word, loves the word because the Holy Ghost is flowing through it, he won't be in that category. You try to entice him, he'll turn his head. Yeah. God will answer your prayers. Just pray to Him. They forsook the right way. Gone astray. Went the way of Balaam, the son of Bozer, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. The wages of unrighteousness. Brother Branham said, the elders came down and said, we'll honor you. We'll make you a man of bigger repute. We'll let you take over. Give you more money. Hey, there's a whole lot more money in fundamental hogwash than there is in following Almighty God. Yeah. Wells without water, clouds are to carry the tempest, the mist of darkness. The mist of darkness is reserved forever for them. And they speak great swelling words of vanity and allure through the lust of the flesh, much wantonness. Those who were clean escaped from them who live in error. In other words, they came right out. As Brother Branham said, you can go so far as to be justified and sanctified and miss the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Without the baptism with the Holy Ghost, the true knowledge of God isn't there. Remember, the Holy Ghost can only fall upon you if you are seed. If you didn't have the seed of God in you, how could the life of God fall upon it? You just try and do that with something that isn't of the species. See? Okay. Now, let's begin to look at Scripture. How far we get today, who knows? If I'd have made all my notes up, we could be here for at least 6 hours, I'd imagine, quite easily. Where are we at? Okay. We're over here in Micah. Micah, the 6th chapter. And it says, 5th verse, "All my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moses, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord." Now, he's talking about the people brought up out of the land of Egypt in the Exodus. That's the 4th verse. "Redeemed out of the house of servants, and I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam." Miriam's in there. God really honored her. As soon as God honored her, she fell flat in her face just the same as Eve did. The church always messes up. Then you got some people trying to tell you God's a female spirit. Ho, ho, ho. Oh, brother. That was my derisive chuckle. In utter sincere contempt for that which is not a God by a vindicated prophet. Never understand where people get their ideas. All right, oh my people. He said, "Remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted." Because he did. He went down. He had men go down and consult with Balaam. "And what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that you may know the righteousness of the Lord." Well, I thought it might be kind of good to look that up. Because I didn't know what in the world he's talking about. And I don't know that I know what he's talking about now. But I'm going to try to con you into believing I do. Not really. We're going to look at the Scripture. Joshua, the 4th chapter. I hope I got this right now. Oh, yes. Beginning the 19th verse. "And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month." That means they crossed over Jordan. "And encamped in Gilgal, in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in the time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. They came over by a mighty miracle. The waters rolled back, like death is going to roll back one day for us. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sown. And the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did in the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over." Okay, he does a mighty miracle to get us out and a mighty miracle to get us in. Because he's a mighty miracle to get us out of Egypt through the Red Sea and stop all these guys from following us. Then there's a mighty miracle. Well, you can see right there, there's a calling out of the message. The next thing is the rapture. See? Dried up before us, we're going until we're gone over. "Then all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that he is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever." Okay, now, it says over here that these people came across Jordan, and they went over to Gilgal, they pitched a tent there, and they took the stones out of the river, the 12 stones making an altar, signifying the 12 tribes, and they made a heap there, which was a testimony. So it says here now, "What Balaam the son of Beor answered from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord." Okay. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 11. And we'll look at Numbers 18, verse 18. "Therefore shall ye lay up my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for sight upon your hand, that they may be as frontless between your eyes." Now there's constantly put something that's a token concerning the Word that you're into to make you look at and hear and believe the Word. And teach them to your children, speaking to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Now that's a big order, but that's the Bible. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of your house and upon your gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon earth. Now that's why you need the fresh message today and the true word of God to go to the millennium. You just can't have it without it. And people say, why does God want it? Why don't you shut up? Never mind your stupid questions. When God wants to be stupid, in His distinct and powerful wisdom, He will let Himself look stupid in the eyes of people. Why does God do? Why did God need John the Baptist? Why does He need you? So you can destroy everything by the stupid questions. Say not in thine heart. Don't give way to questions which literally amount to accusations. True, honest to God question God never turned down. Come now, let us reason together. But it's in the heart that accusations arise against God and against everybody. And these are accusations against God. We'll take that to Malachi. I'll show it to you later on if we ever get time. Forget the time. Okay. And ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways and cleave unto Him. Then will the Lord drive out all those nations from before you, and you shall possess greater nations and might in yourself. In other words, it's a sanctifying process. Watch our lives. Go to the Word of God and live the Word of God. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread will be yours, from the wilderness of Lebanon, from the river of Euphrates, unto the uttermost sea that shall be your coast. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and dread of you upon all the land that you'll tread upon. And as He has said unto you, Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. Now watch, why am I reading this? Because this takes place after Balaam tries to curse Israel, and instead they get blessed. And they're on their way to the promised land. So keep that in mind. The doctrine of the two vines. The doctrine of twins. My own understanding of the principle is called the parallelism of Scripture, which is absolutely the left and the right hand of God, wherever God is, and He's never without His hands. And He never comes with only one hand. Understand what I'm saying? You really don't. But you do. You see, it's so hard to let it just sink in because all these questions come. If that's so, why this, why that? Like the rabbi said to the atheist, he said, everything you look at is a question. I've only got one question, and that's why suffering. And Brother Branham answered it according to even the first great student, Irenaeus, that followed Paul in the second church age. Because Paul explains it in Romans 8. Irenaeus explained it, and Brother Branham detailed it. The suffering has to do one thing. God is God, and there's no way that He can possibly bring forth His glory and His own essentiality without some of these things which we call negative to enhance His positive, which one day will be glorified with His glory, and the eye hath not seen, nor the ear heard, nor imagination could ever encompass what God will do in us and for us and with us. Until it's a complete oneness with Himself. We're reading. Hold, I set before you a day of blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And what is the first commandment of God? Believe! Casting down all reasonings. Not, can I quit smoking? Can I quit doing this? Can I quit doing that? Shall I do this or that? It tells you. Cast down reasonings. Yep. And the curse if you obey not the commandments. of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day. How did he turn aside? One word. To go after other gods which you have not known. Who did she follow? The devil. That's the God of this world. It'll come to pass when the Lord thy God has brought thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, that thou shalt put the blessing upon Mount Gerizim and the blessing upon Mount Ebal. Are they not on the other side of Jordan, by the way where the sun goes down, in the land of the Canaanites, which dwelleth in the champaign over against Gilgal, beside the plain of Morah? So there's Gilgal. We're talking about it. So what are we talking about when it comes to Balaam? We're talking about a particular prophet who positively knew the power of Almighty God. Who positively knew gifts in the operation thereof. That God evidently took pleasure in the sense that this was his will, that he would allow this man to speak for him, and he would listen to this man in this particular place. But you'll notice what this man did. He took upon himself, if it were possible, to go to God and establish an authority with the power of God that he now had to bless or to curse. And he wanted to curse. He didn't want to bless. Now what happens when you withhold the blessing of God? You don't curse anybody, you're cursed. And this is exactly what you're looking at here when we're talking about Micah saying, remember the fact of Balaam, who tried to superimpose himself, and he did. Before the children went into the Holy Land, the Promised Land, and he was taking authority over them. And he'd do anything in his power, even lead them into adultery and fornication, which is a spiritual concept more than the physical, it was physical. Do anything he can in order to promote the curse upon them so that he himself then could inherit the blessing, which means if I'm smart enough to kill my older brother and get away with it, I've got the inheritance, and that's exactly what Jesus put in the parable. The man sent his servants, and they said, let's kill the servants. And he sent other great and more important people to his vineyard to collect the money and the goods, and they said they'll kill them too. And so he finally said, I will send my son, whom they will respect, and they killed him, and they said, when we get the heir, hallelujah, we got it all. Now you can see the doctrine of Balaam right here, and why there's persecution, a squeeze coming down and everything else, why even the foolish virgin can be utterly destroyed. This is that spirit amongst fine men. And if you can't see the trickery in the politics, you haven't been reading the life of this Pope. Yeah. Ever since Pius XII, they've been very careful to get rid of the Jews. And they'll join with the Arabs and the rest of them. Don't worry to destroy them, because God's Word said so. There'll be an unholy union. They're doing it for one reason, in order to destroy. Now, in 2 Peter, we already read it. So what are we talking about? Before entering into the Promised Land, there are prophets who arrogate to themselves and to those who believe them a teaching that they positively can twist the arm of God and cause God to do things, and that's the Pentecostals, if there ever were anybody like them. The guys that promote fasting and prayer and everything else, not so that our minds are turned to the mind of God, but they can somehow imply or impinge upon God and work God over until he says, yes, 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 you can have it. And yet I've got scripture concerning that said, if God does it, he'll give you the desires of your heart and send leanness to your soul. But there are certain desires you cannot have. No way can you pluck any of God's children out of his hand. 2 Peter, then, the second chapter. And I read the verse already, for which have, now it says, having eyes full of adultery. Now notice they're cursed children. And remember, Cain was the first one cursed. Before that, the ground was cursed for the sake of Adam and Eve and Abel. Now the ground is thoroughly cursed again for Cain. And everything about him is cursed, and he's cursed. If that's not the wicked Laodicean age and the fire of God coming upon this earth, I don't know what I'm talking about. Which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozer, who loved the ways of unrighteousness, but was rebuked his iniquity. In other words, knowing to do right and not doing it, should have stayed home. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. Now right here, there's not only the fact, we'll read that later on about the leading them to fornication. But the idea here is he forsaken the right way. What was the right way? To stay there and wait for God to show you. Because listen, he was perfectly able to sit and to know the ways of God, which anybody can do by reading the Bible. And these people today that call themselves prophets and call themselves teachers, and they can get in the Bible here and will not go back to Deuteronomy chapter 18 and chapter 13, there's something wrong with them. They don't want it. There's no way they want it. Now this fellow here just turned right aside in order for wages. And I'm telling you, there's more money given to rackets in gospel than ever is in the world. I thank God our church stays clean of that as much as we can. We'll even get cleaner as time goes on by the grace of God. All right, so they listened. They listened to a gifted man who was not vindicated before the people. He didn't have the pillar of fire. No people at two times, one time, can have the pillar of fire. No two, no three, no four, no five. People come around and say, well, I got a pillar of fire like those fellows from Norway came over one day and sat in my house, talked for hours, and said, well, I got the pillar of fire. Well, you just wasted my time. That's why I said, forget it. I'll give him the time of day. He got a pillar of fire in my foot. The Holy Spirit's in the pillar of fire leading us to the millennium. All he can do is sadly parrot what Brother Branham said, and as far as that, I suppose it's full of errors. I don't know. I got no time for that junk. Just like this guy trying to perfect the bride down there from, what is it, Mississippi, Missouri, whatever it is. You know, Jackson, Mississippi, I guess. And perfect the bride of the 9-8-inch pink playing the guitar, plunk, 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 and telling how the music is going to do it. Brother Branham said the blood of Jesus Christ did it. Maybe he was playing rock and roll when he died. Yeah, that's pretty sarcastic, but that's the truth. They're rock and rolling themselves to hell, calling the blood of Christ. Women try to tell you, we don't want our kids to go away from God, so we're going to have rock and roll music. We'll set nice words to it. Why don't you just go ahead and put scripture on a bottle of liquor? Or better still, have ice cubes made up with the God so loved the world, and then suck them. You talk about blasphemy. Jude, 11th verse. Wanted them who have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsayings of Korah. There you are again. What does it say in Revelation, the second chapter? It says to every single church, it's there, 2 and 15. And it says, so thou hast also them that hold, no, 14. Yeah, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there even them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, that who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So there you are. And remember what he says to any church is said to every church. That I don't care where that seed came in and manifested. It's manifested right down to the very end, because Peter says this is it. And Jude said this is it. So you've got this terrible doctrine. Now, let's look at doctrine. We'll just read scripture and we'll close on it, so we can get moving next Saturday. Let's start all the way back in the beginning. We go back to the book of Deuteronomy. And we're talking about the 32nd chapter. This is where Moses is bringing his great song. And he first, 1 and 2, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. I've explained this many a time to you and showed you. Here is a man that stands right there knowing he's 100% vindicated. And he said, God, you listen in, the world listen in. And I'm going to say 100% the truth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and the showers upon the grass. What's he talking about? He's talking about the rain, which is the Word of God. All right, what is doctrine? Doctrine basically is instruction and comes from the word instructor, which is also teacher. Doctrine then is essentially and basically teaching. So then we see again the man and his message is one. Okay? Up to the point where Balaam stood, I can only curse what God cursed because I'm only a mouthpiece. I can only bless what God blessed because I'm only a mouthpiece. And then when he went beyond that, he was finished. He couldn't stand like Moses and say, give ear, O heaven, and listen, people on earth. I stand right here between God and you, and I'm talking for God because I'm actually God to you. Now you listen. Heaven bear me witness, not one word out. You people know that. Balaam stood there and he got the people to commit fornication. He got them to intermingle, which is exactly what organization is. Brother Branham brings it out because we know that adultery absolutely typifies spiritual things, which is idolatry. Adultery and idolatry is one and the same thing. See? Absolutely. And when you get so much idolatry, you will then get into adultery. Because most idolatry is based upon adultery, which are acts of sex which are illegal. You see that everywhere you go, there's no way that you can deny history. You read your history, go on back to the B.C., go back any age you want, and you will find that sexuality was one of the most important parts of all types of worship, even to the extent where they offered up virgins without even touching her. She was stabbed in the heart or thrown in a lion's den or drowned in water or anything else. You've got a bad situation. See, the man and the message is one, even as the prophet who is a seer or a seer. And what he sees, he alone sees. So therefore, what he sees is what he is. So what he says is what he is. As Brother Branham said, the man and the message is one and the same. That's true. All right, we look at doctrine. We read it here. So Moses and the Word is one because he says it. Now look at it. Give ear, O heaven, and I will speak. Hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender herb and the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. Now remember, this is a man that wrote all the commandments and laws of God. So here we find a perfect picture of God and the Word being absolutely synonymous. You cannot separate them. Rhema and Logos are one and the same. So also is Word. My words that I speak are spirit and life. So therefore, Word, spirit, and life are all one. And so therefore, Rhema, Logos, spirit, life is all one. Put it together in one man, you get an entirely a God creation and a God creature. You say, what about this body? It's going to get changed. This body was necessary and instrumental for the glory of God. And when God is finished with it, he'll give it the rightful place that he had, as this body should have. Have no fear about God, it's a just God. Okay, let's go to the book of Job. And in the book of Job, we find the 11th chapter, and in verse 4, for thou hast said, my doctrine is pure, and I am clean in thine eyes. These people are arguing with Job. And Job said, I know what I'm talking about. He was a prophet. And he said, the words that I have, I'm declaring to you to be the words of God. And when they knew he was dying and he thought he could die too, he said, okay, I will die. But I know that I'm going to see God in this flesh and stand upon the ground here with him. The man knew that his doctrine was absolutely pure. He was not off in his teaching. Now with that, we go over here to, to Proverbs. And you don't find a great many in the Old Testament. But Proverbs is full of doctrine. The fourth chapter and in the second verse, for I give you good doctrine, forsake you not my law. What's the doctrine? Stick with the Word, because that is the doctrine. All right, to Isaiah, the 28th chapter, and we go to verse 9. It tells us, whom shall he teach doctrine? And whom shall he make? Who shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? To them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. And Brother Branham's vision of the fishing was, you cannot teach Pentecostal babies doctrine. They're on milk. And Paul said, I cannot teach you people about Melchizedek in order to truly understand Godhead. For the one time through all ages is at the end time when people are adults and can know who Melchizedek is. And this is where the meat is. But you're not going to get people to understand that any more than the presence. Oh, it's just the doctrine. I want to tell you something. Doctrine and God, if the doctrine is of God, is one and the same thing. Because it is God absolutely defining himself as to who he is and to his essentiality and our relationship to him and all things in conjunction with that. Isaiah 29 and 24, or we could read a little further and in this same chapter. For now it says, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here little, there little. Was stammering another tongue. And Brother Branham in one place did admit that that was his type of preaching was like stammering lips another tongue to the people. But what am I really going to bring out here that is really doctrinal? And it says precept upon precept, line upon line, here little, there little. In other words, he tells you here that you cannot take here little, there little and build a doctrine. You go to the doctrine. And if your doctrine is wrong, the here little, there little is wrong. You can never understand the jot and the tittle and the little scriptures and all these things dovetail until you really understand doctrine. And the major doctrine of this hour is the messenger with the message declaring his presence. Number one. Then comes the question, who is he? What's his role? What's he doing? What's that got to do with me? You see? You begin to break it down. But the first thing people ran against is Brother Branham's doctrine. Oh, he's a Trinitarian. Oh, he's a Kentucky hillbilly. Oh, he doesn't know this. He's not educated. Well, what makes your education or anybody's education get you to God? The more you're educated, the stupider you are, the further you get from God. Well, they asked Dr. Simpson to discover chloroform. What is the greatest thing you discovered? He said, I was a sinner and Jesus Christ was my Savior. Could you talk that to somebody today? Your Asimovs and the rest of them. 24, Isaiah 29, 24, they have also erred in spirit and come to understand, and they also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. What's it telling you there? It's telling you that the people in that condition will come face to face with doctrine, but it doesn't mean they're going to take it. Do you think they're going to believe that that's an actual scientific picture of the glory of God, the reflection of the presence of God? And say that that man really spoke for God and you better listen to him or you haven't got it. You think they're going to believe that? No, because they've already told everybody, you don't listen to me, you ain't got it. Now they're all going to get in the world complex where, the Baptists got this, the Methodists got this, and we finally met the Pentecostals, they've got some too. Yeah, yeah. What do they got? Error. See? Okay. New Testament. We go to Matthew, the 7th chapter. And in Matthew 7, and in 28, it says here, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, which is his teaching. Now with that, we go to Matthew 15, and in the 9th verse, it says here, but in vain do they worship me, teaching doctrines, or for doctrines, the commandments of men. In other words, they have not simply supplemented the word of God. They have pushed the word of God aside. Like it says at the end time, they deny the very Lord that bought them. But who is the Lord? He's the Word. How can anybody have any idea of God unless God has vindicated himself to somebody under such vindication that the people will know that this is that God? You see where vindication comes in? My. People still wonder, well, why would God vindicate? Why would he do this? If people can't see that, there's something wrong with them somewhere. Okay, with that, we go to John. Now, he said, it's vain. Everything you do is without the correct doctrine is absolutely erroneous. And you're just like then the serpent seed back there in the day of Cain. And John 7 and verse 16, it says, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me.
Jesus began to do and teach. He was vindicated. And the vindication was to prove it wasn't his own thinking because he was a son. And even though he could remember everything there in the former glory and say, "Restore to me the former glory I had with you." And though he was the first begotten, then he was equal with Almighty God. He came right on down here and he said, "I haven't got a thought of my own and not one word of my own." And he said, "If you don't believe that, then believe the works." Vindication. Oh, they said, "Vindication, schmindication. You don't agree with us, forget it." And he had nothing to show for it. Huh? That's the old shell game. Where's the pea? Three walnut shells right here. Flip, flap, flip, flap. Where's the pea? Here. Oh, you lost your $10. Sleight of hand artist. Where's God? In His Word. Hold it. Hold it. Hold it. Hold it. He's only in His Word if He manifests that He is interpreting that Word. Because anybody, even the devil, can use the Word and say, "Well, I'm quoting you word for word." Oh, yeah. Don't you give way to the shell game, brother, sister. See, back in Jesus' day, you know, there's actual writings on it. They said that Jesus did magical acts. He was the illegitimate son of a Roman soldier, the Perani or something his name was called. He was mystical, magical acts. That's what Brother Branham said all the time. This is not some Houdini trick or some little thing. Brother Branham knew the history. He didn't have to know the history like Moses. God just spoke to him. So I don't believe that. I do. You read his sermons, read the Bible, read anything. He's right on top of it. John 18 and 19, the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. It didn't matter who, half as much as what. What does he believe? Okay, let's go down the line with Paul. We go to Romans, the 6th chapter. And in verse 17, "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which delivered you." What delivered them? They say God delivered them. Hogwash. Don't put that there. Put it what belongs. It was the Word in which God was. Because you can't approach unto God except by truth. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." You try to take truth from any part at all, and you are sunk, sunk, sunk. You try to manipulate grace apart from truth, and you are in error because grace was extended before the foundation of the world. Now, how in the world are you going to need grace with truth? Because that's the whole point. God knew we're going to go into sin. He predestinated a sinner to give himself reason and purpose of being because he was a Savior. And He alone is the truth. So He had to predestinate a liar. There you are. "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but obeyed from your heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." What if you're what with the servants of sin? Now what are you the servant of? The servant of God. On what grounds? Doctrine. And where is it? In the heart. Where the soul is. The illumination. That's why if you're going to have true love, you can't have it apart from the Word. Listen, you're back on old Highway 47 there. I preached sermon after sermon under such duress you'll never know because I knew something was wrong. I'm putting my head in the chopping block where you knew not to be a real hypocrite. Because I was fighting a lot of guys in life out there that I knew that absolutely I couldn't have fellowship with. No way could I believe what they had. No way. And I was fighting for myself and I was fighting for you whether you knew it or not, although I was pretty selfish in doing it. And there's about 9 or 10 sermons on it. But it all boils into one thing, Brother Branham said, "How, you that believe the same word, how can you not help love each other? Love of God shed in your heart, broaden your heart by the Holy Ghost, and the conduit is the Word." Here it is. You have got something outside the Word, some gifts. Your gifts, brother, sister, are only in the Word as described thereby and in Christ in the true believer, but gifts of the Holy Ghost are instruments bequeathed by the Holy Ghost, but not the Holy Ghost itself. Talk, I hope it's not over your heads, because this is what we're dealing with, the razor blade edge. At the end time, the doctrine that being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. What is righteousness? The beginning of righteousness is the true spiritually revealed revelation of the Word of God. See? Now, with that, we go to the 16th chapter, and then the 17th verse. Now I mark you, beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions, even offenses contrary to doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Avoid them. Brother Branham said, how can anyone who believes all the Word have fellowship with those who believe only a part of it? Yeah. Now listen, it tells me the church is built on doctrine. Your fellowship, your love, your spiritual communion, your associations. Now we're not Seventh-day Adventists or liars. Jehovah's Witnesses, Baptist, Methodist, organized religions. We are a free people who believe in a word given by a vindicated prophet. So therefore the word is vindicated. So we have a communion and a fellowship which the rest don't have, because ours, if we're right, has got to be real. And theirs cannot be real. Brother Branham said, in this day you'll know I'm in the Father, and I in you, and you in me. He said, this is the day. He said, three times it took place. Once at Pentecost, today at the White Throne. Because the White Throne clears all the rest out. They go to the lake of fire. Wise virgin or bride, and the foolish virgin, resurrected, they went and spread around the land outside of New Jerusalem. But you see, we're talking about word piled on word, and we are word. Therefore, the Spirit of God falls upon that word, bringing that word out in the believer. If you didn't have representation, then you don't have it now. See? Okay, there it is again. I beseech you, brethren. Now, I beseech you. Paul is making a prayer for the people to wise up. Mark them which cause division. Even if they're not and offenses, but even offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Why avoid them? Because they'll try to buttonhole you and give you their own idea. Don't buttonhole anybody. Back away. Brother Brand said, if they want to know, bring them to the pastor. Bring them to, even the deacons cannot exceed that authority. Okay, let's go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And I'm not trying to pin down for a minister. I'm just trying to guide you on the Word of God. You're going to do what you want anyway. I'm not that stupid. I don't know that. That ye henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You know, there's a certain part of this that belongs back in the Old Testament. I can't remember where it is now. And that word has to do with Israel. And in their temptation, it means whirlwind. The whirlwind before they got into the Promised Land. And the same thing is going on now. There's going to come a time when the full measure, Brother Branham said, the stature of a perfect man comes into the church. And at that time, we'll no longer be tossed with every wind of doctrine. Notice, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. What are they? They are wolves in sheep clothing. They look identical to the real McCoy when it comes to anything on the outward. But on the inside, they are deceived. But notice, holding the truth in love, speaking it, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You must have the doctrine. And remember the Apostle Paul in Acts 20 warned. He said that the people even among you, those that don't come in, he said they're false prophets. He said in the 2 Corinthians 11 chapter, they're deceivers from Satan. They transformed themselves and transfigured themselves into messengers of light. And no wonder Satan himself has done the same thing to Eve. He did it to Jesus, does it to everybody. Comes and speaks in these voices, does these great things for people to delude them. See? Now he says here, he said it's going to happen when I'm gone. Now Brother Branham said, you're all sweet, all lovely together. What's going to happen when I go? He said, you watch what happens. Why, some people right in the face of Brother Branham called him God. Well, he was God to the people, but he wasn't God. He wasn't Jesus Christ. That'd be the laugh of the century. No way. But he's a millennial man, my books. Colossians, the second chapter, and in verse 22, it tells you which touch not, taste not, and so on, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. In other words, these people are getting people to go through certain rituals and certain things. It won't work. Over here to 1 Timothy, and it's the first chapter and the third verse. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, that when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies as minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith so do. It tells you right here, if the doctrine is absolutely correct, something will happen to you that brings it out. Now, the end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and a faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. See what happens? The minute you get you don't understand doctrine, you'll start making your own ideas up. How many people can you tell that to? They're not going to listen and say, oh, well, I got an experience. Oh, come on. How many things I thought were of God? I've told you things here that happened to me so supernatural. I don't know if they were of God. I just tell you flat, all I know is that was of God, and what he said was of God. This is of God with a true revelation, and we're just doing our best. You look at, come on. And the 10th verse, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Where does that all come from? Discontentment, lawlessness, ungodliness, and sinning, and murders, and whoremongering, and stealing, and lying, and perjuring. Where does it come from? False doctrine. Now you understand what Brother Branham said. There's only one sin. That's unbelief. Smoking, lying, adultery, killing, mugging, robbing are attributes. Say, Brother Vail, how are we going to make it? Get with the passive faith, the revealed Word of God. Watch where it leads you. You see? Okay, the 4th chapter. And the first verse, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, even doctrines of devils. Tell you, the doctrine. And again, in the 6th verse, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished up in the words of faith, even of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. What do you want to attain to? Perfect doctrine. The 4th chapter, the 13th verse. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, or even the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. How is the church going to be kept right? True doctrine. Not your conduct to begin with. The truth. Then you work on doctrine. Well, bless God, I'm going to fast and I'm going to pray. I'm going to starve myself. And when I do, I'm going to grow great big muscles. I'm going to have abounding energy. Hogwash, you stupid jerk. You're going to die of malnutrition. You want to get spiritual muscles? Word. And in prayer, don't try to twist God's arm. Ask Him for more revelation. To delight in His Word, because you know that's what it's coming from. God Himself is bound by His own Word as to definition and to availability and to what He will do. Then man says, I'll have my own way. You see what I've always driven on doctrine here? I'm showing you the Word of God this morning for the first time, backing up what I preached. About time I did that. Oh, don't feel bad. I do a lot of goofy things. 17th to 5th chapter. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those that labor in word and doctrine. If an elder is apt to preach, to really teach the Word of God, if he knows what he's saying, he really knows the doctrine, that man can take the place of the pastor or work with the pastor and be given tithes. Take care of him. That's what I understand it to be. Sixth chapter, first verse, let as many servants as are under the yoke account their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Now, there's something in there about the doctrine that tells you how to do it, see? And you wouldn't know otherwise. If any man, third verse, if any man teach otherwise and not and consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what came to Paul, even to the doctrine which according to godliness, see, only one doctrine will produce it. Nothing else. Okay, 2 Timothy, the third chapter, and in the 10th and 16th verses, it says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Notice, before anything else, doctrine before manner of life. Right? 16th verse, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Then reproof. Correct anything you had wrong. Then correction. It's instruction in righteousness. The beginning of righteousness is a true revelation. Then if you leave the true revelation, where have you gone to? Yeah. Oh, Brother Dale, your people are dead here. Oh, yeah, yeah, they don't scream, they don't shout, they don't run around, they don't talk in tongues, say this. Ask them, but do you have the Word? That's what counts. Shout all you want, jump up and down, give your body, be ruined, anything else you want. If you're off of that Word, my Bible says you're wrong. See, when you lived as long as I have, and studied as much as I have, and seen as much as I have, you'll understand just one thing. Brother Branham came here for one reason, to correct the Word. Just one reason. Get us back to that Word where we don't believe the devil anymore. Walk right to the tree of life. You talk about a reward for believing God's Word, my brother, my sister. Ho, 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 ho. You have it more than there. The fourth chapter and the second and third verses. Preach the word in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, with all, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, or even the doctrine, because you can't do anything without the doctrine. And the third verse, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That tells you the whole key is sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teaching having itching ears. Now what's their itching ears? They want to hear the same old garbage they heard before. Yeah. Oh, my. Titus. We're rambling right along here. We're going to get finished in a little while. Titus 1 and 9, holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. Once the word's vindicated, you're on holy ground. Just open your mouth and say what came into your heart. In other words, what's in your soul, the true revelation, you talk it. Don't worry what the guy says. Well, I don't believe that. Well, see, I didn't ask you to, brother. It's all right. No problem. Just do what you want to do. See? Just come out of your mouth. Oh, the second Timothy, the second chapter of Titus, rather, and the second chapter in verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. In other words, they come out of sound doctrine. Don't talk anything else. Verse 7, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine uncorruptness. Ha ha! Look at it. Gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say to you. In other words, there's a life in the Word. I pray every day for that life to come forth. Oh, God. They can't be in vain. You can't pray in vain. Verse 10, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. In other words, if you get it down, letter perfect in your mind and can talk it, and there's no manifestation of the fruit and the evidence there otherwise, what good is it? See, anybody can memorize something. We're not talking about memorization and robots. We're talking about free moral men who have dedicated their hearts and minds to God because they're the seed of God. God watering the plants and watching it come forth. There's got to be a bride somewhere that goes to the tree of life. And I say this morning, more than ever, if we're not bride, there's got to be a bride out there somewhere. Because deep's calling to deep, there's got to be something there. Okay, we go to Hebrews, the 13th chapter. And in chapter 13, there might be a couple of places in chapter 13, I'm not sure. But anyway, go to the ninth verse. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it's good that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied with it. In other words, what is the occupation in life? The occupation in life is with the Word of God. Now, there's many things you can do with meat. There's many things you can do with a lot of things, and they have a place, a very small place, but the great thing is the Word. Okay, let's go to 2 John, back here at the back. And it's in, the 9th and 10th verses. Whosoever transgresseth abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. You kick the Word to one side that's vindicated, you tell me you got God, forget it. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you that bring not this doctrine, receive him not in your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed partaker his evil deed. In other words, if you associate yourself and you try to put a blessing upon somebody and you try to help that man spread his doctrine because you're just a nice guy, let me tell you something. You're in the same rotten mess he's in, and you're going to answer for it. Come, ye from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord God, and don't partake of the unclean thing. Now, what was the first unclean thing in the Garden of Eden? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which was a misinterpreted, misrepresented word. Started all there, and it's going to end there. But there will be a bride who cannot be moved. Eve was moved. Adam went with her. See, that meant Christ had to die to fulfill. But he won't die the second time. The church only crucifies himself, the Son of God afresh. He won't die. Son of perdition. So you see what we're talking about? These two are so close together. One is a genuine baptism, one is an anointing. The only real evidence of baptism with the Holy Ghost is to believe the vindicated word of the hour, which we are standing on, which previously you didn't have to believe a vindicated word, because the word was not vindicated, but was a living word, as it came from Luther, Wesley, and down through the ages. But when you stand before a living, vindicated word, it means there's a juncture, something is about to take place. Now, what is it? You say, well, there's only one thing can take place. If you go by type and go by the Bible, that's got to be an exodus. We're going to go on a rapture. Exactly true. That's the crux of the whole thing. There's got to be somebody get out of here because God's going to take them out of here. How's he going to do it? Exactly as he said. And they can't understand the Lord descending with a shout with the message to put his church in order. They can't do it. Never understand that. They think of some great big screen. How could you have a secret rapture with a great big screen that's going to rend the heavens and the whole earth? See, people let themselves go, and what happens? They go way out into Never Never Land. Stick with the Word of God, the pure doctrine. As Brother Branham categorically stated, just think how wonderful the same pillar of fire that brought the Word to Paul is here revealing the Word. And in his vision with the power of life and death, worse, resting on that. This is a rest. Well, I think I'd like something else. What do you want? What do you need? Money? Rockefeller's got billions. Doesn't do anything good. Finally, they realize the Bilderbergs are the same thing as the trilateralists. You got a world plot going on. They can't understand the Jews having all the paper and the Rome having all the gold. And they want to kill the Jews? While Rome sits back and laughs her head off. Don't put it on the Jews. Put it right where it is. The Jews have the paper, and God saw that they got the paper, so shut up. Rome got the gold, and God saw that they got it, even though he let the devil procure the whole thing. Just like exactly the little kids heard an old woman praying years and years ago, and she was saying, oh, God, send bread. Oh, God, send bread. Please, God, send bread. So the kid said, well, we'll fool the old girl. Went downtown and bought a loaf of bread and threw it in the window. Oh, God, thank you for the bread. They got mad and knocked on her. See, here, old lady, we brought the bread. She said, son, I don't care who brought it, even the devil, long as I know God gave it to me. That's the way it is today. They got the gold, one got the paper. What does it matter? What's the one thing matter? That word, I know that what I'm saying, in line with everything the prophet taught, does not cut with people. They're going to say, oh, brother, we got to have this light, got to have that light, got to have this, got to have that. But the point is, how do you get it? It's right here.
vindicated. Let's rise and be dismissed. Saturday, 7 o'clock. If I'm not here, Bob will preach. If I am here, I might even listen and preach. I don't know. We just got to pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you again for the time we've had together in your presence here. Knowing what the prophet said, absolutely, you do not change your mind about your word. So therefore, Lord, we know one thing. If we get a genuine, definitive revelation of your word, we have the mind of God irrevocable. And therefore, it does not matter what anybody thinks. And we ourselves are now free from thinking, except thinking upon it. And let it go deep down within our hearts, watering our souls, making our souls fat before you with the wine, the oil, and the rich rain. Bringing forth a harvest, Lord, and hopefully some of us will be living here at this time when we can walk right to immortality because you've risen with healing in your wings. Remove the curse. And now there's nothing but blessing. God help us to see that this morning. The Son set us free, we're free indeed. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, same thing, Son. There's liberty. No more things binding us from creeds and dogmas and that which destroys. But life and liberty, which people are screaming about, we've got it. May we scream about it. May we interact with each other as real word Christians, as the prophet said. No more shilly-shally and duplicity as though we're fooling anybody, only fooling ourselves. God give us people this morning from the pulpit on down where nobody is going to be a hypocrite any longer and say this, that, and the other. If you don't believe it, don't believe it. Stand there and don't believe it. But no pretense, because pretense has been stripped away anyway. By the very fact, Lord, that the prophet could read people's hearts and minds and bring it right out there. And we saw condemnation fall where it had to fall. We saw blessing and cursing. We saw the full arm of God exposed through the Son of Man ministry. We saw you, Lord. We know you. Because it was face to face, it was proven. Now, Lord, we thank you for your presence. May we warm in the glow of the spiritual light and fire of the Holy Spirit burning out all the dross, starting with every false conception of the Almighty God who is the Word. Then let the life come forth. Maybe what men would call just minuscule, something beneath their notice. We don't care, Lord. Long as it's from you, because you notice little sparrows that fall. You feed them. And there's not one hair in their head that perishes. There's not one tear that's not in your great bottle. You know our incoming, our outgoings. You know everything, Lord. Help us to just rejoice in it. And then progress in this way of truth. Because you're worthy, Lord. And we love to ascribe unto you through our lives that you're living through in honor and glory because you're worthy and we love you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen.